to be deserving of the Mesirat Nefesh which the people have shown by coming. I can assure you that in the days preceding a shiur here, I think daily of what topic would be most important to you. What would be of the greatest benefit? When people would have daily shiurim. So we can hope that in the course of the week there will be a few inyanim which are very beneficial for the people. Maybe a few inyanim or less. But when it's once a week or once in 2 weeks, we want every shiur to count for quite a bit. Last night in the shiur I mentioned something which I once was privileged to hear, to witness myself. It took place about 40, 41 years ago in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Before some of you were born. I was privileged to be in the house of the Brit Gerov, Zecha Tzadik HaKodesh Levracha, who had his private minion on Shabbat for Kriyas HaTorah and Musa. Small minion. And I was privileged to be part of this minion. One of the reasons is because I was in the first Talmidim of his son, of Yashabel. So just imagine the privilege week after week being able to spend a few hours with the Brit Gerov. Today, I hardly believe it. Like a pillar of light, of truth, of Yirah Shamayim, extremely clever individual, extremely. And it was in this parsha by Yechi, it was in the parsha by Yechi, and before Kriyas HaTorah, the Rav was sitting in the room where we davened, and I was sitting at the other end, looking into a sefer. And suddenly, one of his sons enters the room and asks him a question. He says that Yaakov Avinu, before he agreed to come down to Mitzrayim, he sent one of his sons, Yehuda, beforehand to establish a Beit Medrash. So the son asked the Rav, why did he send a son a few weeks before he came to establish the Beit Medrash? He'll come with all of his sons and they'll establish the Beit Medrash. Why does it have to be established before he comes? And he said, and the Brit Gerov immediately answered him. said, I don't understand the question. When Yankee Pavino will arrive in the flying, he's going to have to go to sleep somewhere the first night. Where do you think Yankee Pavino would go to sleep the first night in the New York Times? In a hotel? Never. Only in a basement. So it has to be established before he comes. And that was the whole end of the conversation. In other words, he doesn't intend to step out of the base measure. The moment that he unloads his packages, he doesn't recognize that he's surrounded by a Goyesha country lying with all of its Goyesha and Hagen. He doesn't want to see it or know of it. He's coming from El Tisloyal, and he comes right into a Beis Medrash, and that's where he lives. And this was his answer. The little Mashiach, the Reino of Rabbeinu, the Chaskel Zatzal, he added something. He said, Yaakov Avinu has been mourning the loss of Yosef, his cherished son, 22 years. He was dressed in black, constantly mourning with no Ruach HaKodesh. He received news that his son is alive. He's the ruler of Mitzrayim. He has remained a tzaddik kodesh. He desires that his father and his brothers come to live permanently with their families in Mitzrayim because of the impending laws, etc., etc., of this period. Ruach HaKodesh returns to Yaakov Avinu. He is rejuvenated. I'm going to see my son Yosef before I die. Can you imagine parents whose child has been kidnapped from them, Chas V'Sholom? And every day they're waiting and they're hoping against hope and against hope, and hearing that someone found some blood-stained garment here, and someone found this and found that, and they're still, but they don't know definitely, the body hasn't been found, and he's waiting and waiting. Imagine one day they find out the child is safe, alive, is the ruler of half of the world, a tzaddik kodesh, and wants to see the parents, has no permission to leave the country where he is. So please come to see. Can you imagine what the father would do? The father would come on his day. He would take a direct plane from his house to where his son lives. He would jump off the plane and embrace him and kiss him and cry and do what? What did Yaakov Avinu do? No. The place where he and his sons will be settling is not in the center of Mitzrayim. Certainly isn't in the capital city. In a certain section of the country, which will be further away from the Goyesha influence, where they can raise their sheep, etc., etc. They'll live their own life. You know what word I want to use? Ghetto. And that's how they're going to live, away from all of these Goyesha. And Yaakov Avinu tells the driver, we're going home. But your son, on the way there, you can turn off to the left, because that's the capital city there. You'll see your son. We are going to our destination. And that's it. I don't want to look at the slide. I'm going right to a Beis Medrash. And that's it. What about the son? One will come to me. I am not going to endanger my spiritual madrega because of my deep desire to see my son. Nothing is going to bribe me from the truth. The truth is, a person must preserve his spiritual power and not become corrupted by the outside undesirable influences. He's out to do it. Mashiach says, take a look at Nida, the Emmet, of Yerah Shemayim, Yaakov Avinu. Control himself, he's not going to see his son. If it's Bashel, the son will come to see him. Not Bashel, he's Bashel. But I am not going to sacrifice my life to him. But your son, but, Yerah Shemayim comes first. He's a lesson to us. And Mashiach goes on to speak how when Joseph brings his two sons, the Nash and Ephraim, Yaakov Avinu is full of Ruach HaKodesh. The moment he sees these two sons, Ruach HaKodesh oozes him instantly. So he realizes that from these two sons, generations from now, they will have the undesirable descendants. Yerobam ben Nebat, Yehu ben Nimshi are going to come out of Ephraim u'Menashe, Chaitim u'Machzim. That's why Ruach HaKodesh is left. And Yosef is standing there with his two sons, beaming, and Yaakov Avinu opened his mouth and said, Mi'eilel, who are these boys who are going to have evil descendants? How are they born to you? This is how you talk to a son. After 23 years you wanted to see him. And you come out with the whole truth. What would you have done, gentlemen, if you were Yosef? I'll tell you. He starts crying.
I miss you, Obi. You miss me. We'll talk about this a moment.
Right? Next installment next week. You're not trained in America to stand up to such situations. I'd go to yeshiva, I'd give a written exam. What would you do if you were Yosef? And Yosef said this to you. Who are these boys who are going to father evil people? What would you do about it? Well, I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm speaking to Yiddish and younger life here, you know. I'm not speaking to the Rainbow Coalition somewhere. They ended it. Take out my 45 and kill the old man. That they're well trained in that in this country. What should you do, Alfie? What are you doing any sorta Alfie did that you haven't been taught in this almighty forsaken country here? What do you know what you do? Take out his tilum and start to pray to the angels. The finest one will help me. Bring back Ruach HaKodesh to my father. He should feel that it's safe to give office to my son. What did Yosef do? Exactly what he did. I hope that some of you have been Ma'avil Tevlo. I think that's what it says. Vayayim Yisrael et b'nei Yosef, vayayim el mi'eile, uren. When it Rashi says, v'keish l'volchein, v'nistalt l'shchino mimenu. He felt that the Shechino had left him. Must be something wrong with these boys. לפי שעושת ירובון ואחוד לא צייק מהפריים, ויהו ובונות ממנשה. These were evil individuals. They're not going to be sons of the national Ephraim, and not grandsons. It's going to take hundreds of years until these people will be born. But Shechina left it. Mi eile, mei heichon yotsu eilu, she'enon ruuyim lebrochot. I say, this is how you talk to me. Mashiach says, what was Yaakov Avinu? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is pure truth. This is Midas Rem. This is for the benefit of Yosef to know what's going on. So Yosef takes out Star Eilison, Star Subeh, he showed it to his father, I am married out the bin. Nothing wrong with my marriage. And he doesn't. I know it's an un-American act, but he doesn't. Hakaide returned to Yaakov. You see, if I was a rabbi in a school and teaching children, or bachelor, or in a senior citizen's home, never too late to learn. In America, some people only learn at the age of 70. They wasted the first 70 years in a crazy public school, and then making money and spending money. The age of 70, they have time. I would teach such a Rashi, stop and I would explain. Any problem, even if you're facing Yaakov Avinu, pray, there's a balabas over Yaakov. He has the power to return you all HaKadosh to him. Now we can get on. You teach it in a Chedem, huh? Let's speak there and he prayed. What would you people do if you were Mordechai Hatzadik? In those trying days of Haman's evil gzeila, and you know that Haman is intending to hang you, besides eventually the genocide of Gansplaudy. And suddenly you're sitting in a Beit Medrash and learning Torah with Talmidim. It's today, the second day of Pesach. When there was a Beit HaMikdash Chayim, with the Yayin Avoat Ha'imah. And when there's no Beit HaMikdash, we are supposed to learn the Halachai of Aymah. So he's teaching Kodshim, the Shir and the Noch. He's teaching Minchas Aymah, his Talmidim, and the learning of the Baalik. And suddenly, most of the ages are so intensive to Beit Medrash. Lieutenant General Haman Hoboashan, with his henchmen built in 25 masses. And what do you decide on this fact? He has come to hang me. What would you do? You have a permit. You have a permit only at home. Now let's take it outside. How do you have any good permit? What do you do? Again, a question I would ask. What did Mordechai do? I would duck. Hide? What would Haman do if he was in the place of Mordechai? Should I show you? I'm embarrassed because this is being videotaped. You get on your knees, and you bow down 65 times,
to say, Herman,
I love you, I love you, I'll become your son, I'll vote for you instead of Clinton. I'll do everything in the world. This is what Herman Kotosi or DC Poshasi, if my heart is on this side, I pound here. If it's there, I'll pound it here. Whatever you want, I'll do for you. This is what he did when he was caught eventually at the Suda with Esther and Ahasuerus there, and the Melech gets up from, what did he do? He went out and said, I'll put on Habeyutan's film and all the other film you want me to do. I'll put on 60 pairs of stitches. Whatever you want from me, I'll put on. What's it? He's a zero personality, character. He get up like nice nails. I regret that I only have one life to give, right? You say, this is the sweetest moment in my life. I'm giving up my life for my ideal, which Amalek told me to do in my life. He bent down till he fell over though, and Esther there. What is Mordechai going to do when he's faced with his end, he thought. You know what he did? Turned around, went to the wall, and started to die. You know what Haman did? He shut up, he sat down, and he had to wait. Because he didn't come to hang him. He came to do something else for him, and he had to respect him. Haman is Haman. Why do you people read newspapers? You don't know why. You have one list. It's interesting. And if it's interesting, people live with that word. It's interesting. Why they play games? It's fun. Who states fun in the title? It states nicht in the title. But the American Constitution states it's pure. Who states interesting? Alexander Smeitzman said interesting is enough to live for. So his whole life he traveled to see this and to see that and to see that. What are you going to get out of it? I saw it. Today you have the photograph of it. I saw it. And if you saw it, this is the preservation of the zero. This is how people live. Adding zero to their days of their lives. Haman's sitting there. He sits there, you know, you make a chesna nefesh if you have one, you go out and buy one, and then you make a chesna. And he asks them, what are you gentlemen studying? Interesting. So they started to give him a whole theater in question, you know, with Blitzke, with Zaydinim, with the whole business here, with the Mincha, with the Knitza, with this. I say about all the Rishonim mentioned in the Torah that I would have hoped that they would have been as tired as they were brilliant. And this genius woman, he ripped, and he said, no, yes, he clapped, and he said, no, yes, your little Kmita Taino that outweighed my 10,000 scholars. Which I hope would buy Klal Yisroel for their destruction, and your little Kmita Taino did a trick and outweighed it from his clefting and clefting. What was Mordechai doing? He was davening. He finished davening, turned around, and then Haman went over to him, put on the Labush and the Melech, and says, the Melech said, you have to get covered today. And then it started the downfall of Haman. That was the beginning of the end. This is how tzaddikim would face the situation. On that day, after my daughter, who in the world ever taught it? No one. Not just no one. I once told Balak Tshuva in California, a whole day she should be nayeh anything that happens during the day, which is a problem. The first say a capital tilim and a short prayer to Eibishter, and then go and deal with the problem. And write a diary of what happened. And she did it. And she had a whole day of miracles. A whole day. And I told her before that like this, I hope you'll be able to do it for a day. Maximum, you'll be able to do it for a day and a half, and then you'll stop and you'll never do it again. So why? I want to do it. I want to do it for my whole life, for at least. I'll start with a month. Said the Yetzer Hara will never submit you more than a day now. Because it would be such a valuable document that in a week's time you would review it, you wouldn't believe. You would become such a ma'amino b'Hashem. You see that in every step during the day, you have hashgacha pshuta, the moment you pray. And she did it for a day and a half, and hasn't done it since till this very day. And she sent me a copy, a photocopy of what she wrote down, and it must be since this law. I would have liked to be in a house that way. I would have asked today to give me this and give me that. We haven't been taught to pray. Yaisen, pray. Ruach HaKodesh returned to Yaakov Avinu. So he realized Menashemayim, they're masking, that he should give a blow to find him in that. Mashiach's point is, you come out with such harsh truth to Yaisen. When all you want to do is kiss and hug the king, goes on to say, gathered up his own sons to give them the final brachot before his neshama leaves this world. You open a mouth, you call the bechayim, you were born in the greatest kedusha possible, the purity of your birth, unbelievable. And you are worthy not only to be the Bechayah, also Kahuna to come out from you. Malchus to come out. Tachan Kamayim. You showed in a certain action, certain hastiness, which is not Yishav Hadar. Certain actions. No one with such hasty action can ever father Malchus and Kahuna like those. You are being stripped of these two great privileges, and even a principal part of the Bechayla will be given to someone. Is this how you talk to children? Boy, of this? Emet. The truth is the greatest possession in this world. And he's giving it to them. Shimon Belevi Achim. Play Chomos to Chalaseya. Ba'apom, Ba'sainam, Olo Apom, Ion. You know what Olo means? Cursed should be. Hasif. You don't need Bilam here. You've called us in to give us the glory. And you're saying, cursed! Be your anger! Then, you know the other Shvatim, they were getting Cupid to put in their ears. I'm there. Mashiach said, what would be the greatest benefit to Shimon the Lady? People who have untold spiritual power. What's the greatest benefit? to temper and more or less get rid of this terrible past. We can inflame and do a lot of damage. Wouldn't it be good? It would be wonderful for them. Says Yaakov, an hour before I die, I'm performing the operation. I'm cursing that cock that it should disintegrate eventually. Shimon, I'm not going to give you a special place in Eretz Yisrael like all the other Shvatim. I'm going to disperse you among Shevet Yehuda. And in that situation, when your tach is tempered, you feel that you're outnumbered, then your brilliance as melamdim will come forth, and you are going to be melamdim, Rabbi Yisrael.